Part 1. Chapter 1. Santa Cruz, 24th of June, 1953. Jean-Luc lifts the razor to his cheek, glancing at his reflection in the bathroom mirror. For a split second, he doesn't recognize himself. Pausing, razor held in midair, he stares into his eyes, wondering what it is. There's something American about him now. It's there in his healthy tan, his white teeth, and something else he can't quite identify. Is it the confident way he holds his chin? Or his smile? Anyway, it pleases him. American is good. With a towel wrapped round his waist, he wanders back into the bedroom. A black shape outside catches his eye. Through the window, he sees a Chrysler crawling up the street, coming to a halt behind the oak tree out front. Strange. Who would be calling at 7 o'clock in the morning? He stares at the car, distracted. Then the buttery smell of warm crepe wafting up the stairs calls him to breakfast. Entering the kitchen, he kisses Charlotte on the cheek, then ruffles his son's hair in way of greeting. Glancing through the window, he sees the car is still there. He watches as a lanky man extracts himself from the driving seat, craning his neck, peering around, like a pelican, he thinks to himself. A stocky man emerges on the other side. They walk towards the house. The doorbell cuts through the morning like a knife. Charlotte looks up.
I'll go.
Jean-Luc's already on his way out. He slips the chain from the lock and opens the door.
Mr. Beauchamps?
Pelican Man asks, without smiling. Jean-Luc stares at him, taking in the dark navy suit, white shirt and plain tie, and the arrogant look in his eyes. The mispronunciation of his name is something he usually lets go, but something pricks his pride this morning. Maybe it's because the man is standing on his doorstep.
Beauchamp,
he corrects. It's, French.
We know it's French, but this is America.
Pelican Man's eyes narrow a fraction as he sticks a shiny black shoe across the threshold. He peers over Jean-Luc's shoulder, then his neck clicks as he turns, cocking his head to one side, looking at the carport where their new Nash 600 is parked. His top lip curls at one corner.
I'm Mr. Jackson, and this is Mr. Bradley, Mr. Beauchamps. We'd like to ask you some questions.
What about?
He adds inflection to show his surprise, but his voice sounds false to his ears, an octave too high. Muffled sounds of breakfast reach out to the doorstep, plates being stacked, his son's light laughter. The familiar noises echo around Jean-Luc like a distant dream. He closes his eyes, clutching at the vanishing edges. A seagull screeching calls him back to the present. His heart beats hard and fast against his ribs, like a trapped bird. The stocky man, Bradley, leans forward, lowering his voice.
Were you taken into county hospital 6 weeks ago after a car accident?
He stretches his neck as though hoping to gather information about the life inside the house.
Yes, Jean-Luc's pulse races. I was knocked over by a car rounding the corner too fast.
He pauses, taking a breath.
I lost consciousness.
The doctor's name, Wiesmann, springs to mind. He fired questions at Jean-Luc while he was still coming round, feeling foggy. How long have you been in America? He asked. Where did you get the scar on your face? Were you born with only a finger and a thumb on your left hand? Bradley coughs.
Mr. Beauchamps, we'd like you to accompany us to City Hall.
But why?
His voice comes out as a croak. They stand there like a blockade, hands behind their backs, chests thrust forward.
We think this would be best discussed at City Hall, not here on your doorstep in front of your neighbors.
The veiled threat tightens the knot in his stomach.
But what have I done?
Bradley rolls his lips together.
These are just preliminary inquiries. We will call the police in to assist, but at this early stage, we prefer to get the facts straight. I'm sure you understand.
No, I don't,